You know, some time ago I said that we'll be doing studies looking at the lives of great men of God, that is from the Bible, and learning things from it. And was it last year we took a very long time to learn from the life of Moses. And today I'm going to start one which I titled Inspired by Isaac. Inspired by Isaac. Let's read this again just as an introduction. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, that is the faith, the men of old gained approval. Now notice that the men of old, they gained approval. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. Then he went ahead and talked about Abel offering God a better sacrifice than Cain. And then he now said in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now again, the next thing to notice, he was pleasing to God. In the first verse, we said that men of old gained approval. He said Enoch also by that faith was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is, if Enoch was said to have been pleasing to God, that means he walked also by faith. He said, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Then he talked about Noah being warned by God, all right, by faith. Noah was warned by God, and he made preparation. And then by verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham. Now let me slow down here. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm going to stop reading there. I just read this one again for us to get into this teaching, that these things were recorded for our learning. The reason this thing was put in the scriptures is so that we would take instructions from them. We want to walk in a manner pleasing to God. I said something then, let me say it again, when we're talking about learning from Moses, that everything you find in the life of Jesus, you understand, is recorded here. We read from that last portion of the book of, that's chapter 12, verse 1, Hebrews. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I read this just to bring out an issue. That Jesus is the one we are looking at. We explained it then, all right? We are looking at Jesus. We are not looking at Moses. We are looking at Jesus. We are not looking at Abraham. We are looking at Jesus. We are not even looking at Isaac. But I said then, and I'm saying it again, that you read the Bible, you find out that next to nothing was said about the life of Jesus until he was ready to enter into ministry. By the time he entered into ministry, the only thing we know about his own life personally was what happened at the age of 12 when he went into the temple and he was asking questions of the leaders, of the elders that were there, and they were impressed by the things that he was saying. But the issue is that we know next to nothing about his life. Nothing was recorded. What he did at the age of 20, we do not know. What he did at the age of 30, that's when we began to read his story. Between the time he was 12 and the time he was 30, nothing was said about him, really. Yet we know that on that final day, the Lord said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And that was not a matter of personal it was not just a matter of favor that I've chosen to love this person. It's more like, this is my son that I have trained. This is my son that I put my word into. This is my son that has obeyed me every way. This is my son that I have confidence in. That's what he was saying. It wasn't just saying that I like this one. It's like, this is my son that I have confidence in. You have to listen to him, because anything he says is what I would have said. And we are saying, so when God said that, what he was saying in effect is that I've tested him, I've trained him. You are getting my point? So if we are going to look onto Jesus, how do we look at those other aspects of his life? And my understanding of the scriptures, which I taught then under learning from Moses, is that everything that Jesus went through, these other people went through them also. And those things were condensed. All right? So if you want to know what Jesus experienced when he was 25, read the story of Joseph. You will find it there. Are you getting my point? You read the story of Abraham, you will find those things there. So all those parts of his life, they are there. All right? That's why you see all these things recorded. All those people, God told their story in the book of Hebrews, and we see how they walked by faith. It was by that same faith that Jesus walked. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And with that faith, Jesus pleased the Father. And we are learning about that faith by looking into the lives of those people. Remember, we are not looking at them personally. We are trying to connect with the life of Jesus Christ. And we know from understanding the scriptures that the things about his life are recorded in the lives of those great men. So when we studied Moses extensively, we're studying the life of Moses as it reflected the character of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to begin to study the life of Isaac, and then we're studying it as it brings forth, all right, the understanding of how to walk by faith. The same faith that Jesus walked by that made God say to him about him one day, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You understand that what I'm trying to say there? So today we are beginning to look at the life of Isaac, and I just captioned it, "Inspired by Isaac." And we're going to start today by talking about living by promise. That's what I'm talking about, living by promise. Living by promise. There are many scriptures I'll read, but let's pick two of them. First of all, the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4, let us start with that. You know, today, as I was thinking about it, just meditating, the message actually moved me so much, all right? It almost brought tears to my eyes. I don't know why. It didn't really move me. I was sitting in the car, actually, the time I was thinking about this. I just felt so strongly about it that this is really, really very deep, the thing I want to say today. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps me to bring it out, and it connects, that we're all able to connect with it. Living by promise. Or more like living by God's promise. That's what we're talking about, the promise of God. All right? But the concept is that let's understand what God really wants from our life. Let's read from verse 1. Again, I'll read a long portion, but then so as to save time, so that this message will not just be Bible reading, it will be Bible teaching. I will jump here and there, so that we'll do more teaching. What shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Now, before I read further, we're talking about Isaac's life. What I want to bring out today is how Isaac came to pass, all right? How Isaac came to life. How did God bring Isaac to life? The name Isaac means laughter. You know, when God came to Abraham and he said that Isaac, your wife will give birth to a son, all right, this year. And the Bible says that Abraham laughed. And for a long time I was wondering, why was he laughing? And if you say by faith, he received him. What was funny about it? For a long time I thought he was doubting what God was saying. But actually, he was not doubting what God was saying. In fact, I just feel we should just read that one briefly. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's just read that one. I think it would be good for me to just help us understand some things in the scriptures. The book of Genesis chapter 17. Let's read that. Let me just start from verse 1. Again, I will jump here and there to quickly get there. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, please, I want you to understand something. When Abraham was this particular age, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. That is, God was just telling him things. Your life is determined by information. Did you hear what I said? Yes. That's what decides how you live, the decisions you make, where you go, where you don't go. It's information. many people want to travel to countries in this world that they have never been to. It's because of what they were told. That's all. They didn't know how it is there. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. And, you know, Satan likes to wear people's faith out, wear out their tenacity, wear down their ability to succeed. And how does he do it? He gives them information about where they are right now. The other day I was discussing with some people. They were talking about democracy in Nigeria, that how bad it is. I pointed something out. I said, in my own assessment, if you take all democratic countries, all right, and put them in the list of how good their democracies are, that Nigeria is in the top half, not the bottom half. I didn't want to say more than that. And I wasn't speaking by, you know, in quote, faith. I was speaking by facts. I said, you want to compare it with Russia? That the only person that wins an election in Russia is who Putin says will win. Are you getting my point? That if Putin does not think you should win, you can't win. In Nigeria, Goodluck Jonathan may think he should win, and the House of Rep, where he has control, will vote in, what is his name, Tambuwal. You know what happened now? You know that Nigeria, Goodluck Jonathan does not decide who wins an election now. He can come to a state, they defeat his candidate. Now, what I'm talking about that is that somebody was arguing with me. I just said, look, no point arguing. This is just how life is. They will tell you how bad where you are is. That's what happens all the time. They use that information to corrupt your system. You just get to America, you just see dollars on the street. They tell you that if you don't work, government will pay you. You know, people just say that. See, and you ask yourself, why are the people there working? If you don't work, you're just going to register your name. Government will just start paying you. And people believe it too. They don't know the economy like America. There's a maximum number of months you will get being on welfare. After that, they cut you off neat permanently. You're on your own. But you just sit down. I'm talking about information. Now, unfortunately, if you believe what's a lie, it brings forth corruption. If what you are saying is not true, you will never be blessed by it. You don't just make up your mind to believe anything you want. You have to strive to believe that which is true, not just that which you want. What I'm going to say is that when God came to Abraham, he began to give him information. He said, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. What he was saying is that your situation is not almighty. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That's what God was trying to explain. That, listen, you have met me. Let me explain something to you. Where you are coming from is not almighty. I am God Almighty. Any other thing you have encountered in life is not almighty. Your lack in your previous, you know, in your past is not almighty. It cannot hinder your future. That your father was very rich, gave you a lot of things. That's not almighty. It does not guarantee anything. He said, I am God Almighty. That's what he said to him simply. Please bear that in mind. What God was doing was to give this man information. He said, walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell off on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Please, I'm going to save time and jump, like I said to you earlier. In verse 6, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said further to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants. Now, please, I'm saving time. Then verse 15. It says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Now, please, follow this. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? and with Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Now, please, let me pause here. The way we read it a lot of times is that when God said this to Abraham, that I will give you a son by Sarah, all right? And that Abraham now said, "Will this happen? Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." First of all, verse 17, the Bible says that Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, people said that laughter, he found it funny what God was saying. But I don't have time to dig it in details. We discussed it maybe some years ago here. You can get into our archives and find out where I discussed this. But Abraham did not laugh as to mock that statement by God. If he did, the name of Isaac would have been mockery. I don't know whether I hear what I said. What was it, Isaac's name? Laughter. It means something there. It was a good thing. That is, God caused me to laugh. When they gave birth to Isaac, they said, "God has made me laugh." He didn't say God had made me mock him. That is, that laughter was not a sign of doubt. It was exhilaration. The man was just so overwhelmed, and laughter came out of his mouth. He said, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream." Are you getting my point? He said, "Then our mouths were filled with what?" When God does a great deliverance for you, you will laugh. You will find it, it just bursts forth from you as laughter. When God gave him this promise, what happened was that it hit him so hard, he burst out in laughter. He now said, "But why did he now say, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee'?" The answer is simple. If you have, if you read most translations, now for those who are entering into it, if you read most translations of the Bible, you may find a confusion as if God said, "No, I am not going to answer you." You understand? But just quickly go to the NIV if you have it. If you have an NIV there, say amen. Amen. If you have an NIV. So many of you have NIV. Okay, what does NIV say? Verse 19. Thank you. Now, all right, I wanted that word, yes. You see, verse 19, most Bible says, "But God replied, 'No, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you.'" Now, you must understand, this was translated by people that also had that understanding. They felt that God said no to his request. But NIV brings out that God said yes. But actually what happened, let's even forget whether he said yes or no. One thing you will say is that he said, verse 20, "As for Ishmael," what did he say in your Bible? "I have heard you." What does that mean? When he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," he said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." That is, your request for Ishmael, I have heard it, it is granted. John said it so that we have no confusion in 1 John chapter 5. He said that if we know he hears us, then we know we have the request that we have made of him. So when Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," God said to him, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee." What was the issue? He thought, I read a commentary on that, the man thought that because before that, he was also thinking that Ishmael, God will use Ishmael and it will be his son that they were talking about. But when God said, "Don't get this into your head that it will be Ishmael, get it right. It is a child that Sarah will give to you." And he laughed. He said, "Oh God, so this is going to happen." He said, "What about Ishmael?" The natural thing that Ishmael was going to die. So he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." That it let him not die. He didn't say, "Oh, that you will use Ishmael as a promised child." He said, "Let this boy live." And God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will also bless him." Do you get the point? Now, what am I trying to emphasize? The fact that God gave him information. And that was guiding his life. It wasn't his experience. The first thing God said to him is that, "I am God Almighty. Your situation, not almighty." You are getting what I'm trying to explain. Your age, not almighty. Who you know, like I always say, not almighty. Who you do not know, not almighty. I am God Almighty. I am the one that will determine what your tomorrow will be like. Please bear that in mind. I'm talking about living by promise. The mistake we make a lot of times in life, I just feel like I'm starting to preach, is that we judge life. You know, I said earlier, our lives is formed by what? Information. So if I think once I can get a visa to go to a good country, what I call a good country, like America, therefore, I believe that my destiny should be secure. You are getting the point. I just, you know, I think I, you know, if I can get a better degree, I have a BSc, my job is not very good, I can get a better one. How do I get it? Let me get another degree. So once I get that degree, it means, therefore, that I have a brighter prospect. Now, let me say something to you again. Life is lived on different levels. Those things make sense. All right? You can plot it properly, the way human beings plot. But this is what I'm throwing down to you again today as the word of God. God does not expect Christians to live like that. Listen to this. What God is saying concerning your life is this. What will come into your life is what I promised will come into your life. I don't know what I said. It is not what you can plot. It is not what you can arrange. It's not your effort. It is what I promised. And this is interesting part I want you to understand. What impresses God about anybody? Oh God, we need to get this clear. We make this mistake a lot of times. We think God is impressed by how much we pray. We make the mistake a lot of times. We think, now listen to this. You may think I'm contradicting myself if you're not listening to it very carefully. We think that God is impressed by how much we study the Bible. Because, you know, I like people studying the Word of God. But we often think that God is impressed by how much of the Word we study. Now listen, studying is very good. We make the mistake of thinking that we pray a lot, God is impressed. Again, people go to church, work, you know, I work in the ministry. Even though I have another job, I'm very, you know, I serve in our church. I'm a leader of the church, you understand? I'm a youth leader, or I give, you know, my pastor knows. Go and ask pastor. You know, only me, I gave the money to build that building. And you know, when we're doing those things, in our hearts, we think that God is impressed. I'm not saying you shouldn't do them. I mean, how can I say you shouldn't pray? Did I say, is it possible for me to tell you not to pray? No, answer me. Is it possible for me to tell Christians not to study the scriptures? I can't say Christians not to work in the ministry or give. I can't do that. But when we think that that's what impresses God, that is where the problem is. I read the scriptures and I found out, I said you should open to where? Romans chapter 4. I found out that what impresses God is that somebody trusts his promise. No, I'm telling you. What impresses me in him more than anything is that when he promises something, somebody just holds on to it and says, okay, if he has said it, it is finished. Please, let me say it to you again. Praying is good. Studying the scriptures, very good. Giving, very good. Working and being active in ministry, preaching the gospel, very good. But what impresses God more than anything is that somebody's life is built on a promise that God made. That's it. You know, Romans chapter 4, we'll read it in a moment. We often think that what impressed God was that God asked Abraham for a son, and Abraham loved God so much, he gave God a son, his only begotten son. I said, my God, this man really loved God. Again, I studied the scriptures, and I found out that it's not so. What impressed God was that Abraham trusted God so much, he was willing to risk the life of Isaac, knowing that the promise of God could not fail. Listen, you know what? Things are better now, but let's assume about 6 months ago. All right? I told you, I just came back from Sokoto. Many of you know. That's why I was not around last weekend. I was preaching in Sokoto, then attending a meeting. That's north east, right? Or northwest. All right. The hot zone, all right, that, let's take 6 months ago, is Maiduguri. So imagine now that they tell you that Pastor Frank will not be around today or is not around today. What's happening? He's preaching in Maiduguri. You know, some of you immediately leave the Bible study to go and start praying. You are not angry. You just start confessing. Though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, nothing must happen to him. For the Lord is with him. Though he walks through the valley of death, if our Lord is not though, he is in the valley of the shadow of death. Which one is though? One we know is in Maiduguri. In that, you understand what I'm saying? Even before I go, I'll tell you, say, this is where I'm going to, so be praying. In the name of Jesus. Now, I told you the story I heard Corey Blake talk about, what's his name? Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson was a general in the Confederate Army during the American Civil War. So when I heard him talk about it, I went and researched about Stonewall Jackson. He was known for being fearless. He didn't used to dodge bullets or duck when he hears explosions. He used to walk carelessly on the battlefield, and he never lost a battle. He was a young man. He was promoted rapidly in that their Confederate Army, and he became a general because he never lost a battle. Corey Blake believed that the only reason the man had to die was that God wanted the Union Army to win so that the United States will still remain one country that it is today. All right? And therefore, God had to take him out. And this interesting part, he was killed. Corey Blake didn't say that in that message, but I found out he was killed by his own men by accident. The enemy couldn't kill him. One day, he went to go and just survey an area. His men saw him. They didn't know that he was their boss. You understand? They thought he was on the other side. So they fired, I think, a cannon, all right, at him, close range. That was when they killed him by accident. They said he never lost a war. He lost a battle. Corey Blake said that he believes that if Stonewall Jackson was in Gettysburg, it's not possible they would not have lost. That enemy advancing, firing, he stands like this. Said that look at him standing like a stone wall. That's why I got the name Stonewall Jackson. That used to stand like a stone wall. He wouldn't flinch. He wouldn't duck when you maybe there's an explosion. You know, reflex. You duck, not him. And when they asked him, why do you behave like this? Now listen to this. He said, my faith teaches me that I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. So he's going to war. He doesn't know how to dodge. Dodge for what? He will stand like the commanding men. So they gave him a name, Stonewall. That is standing like a brick wall. Stonewall Jackson. Now, I'm bringing an issue. If a man believes like that man believed, then he builds his life on that promise. So let's go back to my invitation to Maiduguri in the heat of the crisis. And here I'm going, then I say to you simply, say, Pastor, is it not, is it hide yourself for a little while until this indignation is over? Even you preached it. And I say to you simply, yes, I agree with that. But there's an urgent need for my presence there right now. And I've been able to secure a flight that will drop me there. I have to go and encourage the brethren. Are you going to be okay, sir? And I say to you like Stonewall Jackson, my faith teaches me that I'm safe, I'm as safe in Enugu or anywhere as I will be in Maiduguri if I am in the will of God. So your prayer should be, am I in the will of God or I'm not? And I've checked it, I think I'm in the will of God. Now, some people say, this is, you're walking by faith, which is true, it's not a lie. But some people who are doing that, they're not even thinking it's by faith, they're just walking by normal. You know, for many of us, when we say faith, what we mean is that we are doing what I don't do normally. Normally we don't do this, but it's critical we have to do it by faith. That's actually not what faith is. But for men who are really doing that, listen, if something's for you, it's by faith. It's by faith. It's not by faith. It's by oboju. Relax. No, I'm telling you the truth. Things that you are doing by faith, you do them without realizing you are exerting much spiritual energy. It's normal to you. For those who are walking by faith, they are walking by normal. Now, what impresses God, that's what I'm talking about, is that somebody lives his life by, that is building it on a promise that God made, not on the security that he or she understands. Many things happen in life, I observe it. I'll just make a statement simply like this. Don't worry, the time will come. And when you say things like that, he said, the man knows what he ate before he came here. So a lot of the people are talking like that. They say, don't worry, he knows what the money has already saved up. Are you getting my point? He knows preparations he has made. But I'm saying to you, faith is tangible. It's valid spiritual substance. So if you tell me something like that, yes, I will say yes. Because my faith is real. It has value. You can convert it to naira. That's why anytime I think about it, I realize how rich I am. I'm a very rich man. I'm very rich. Sometimes I think about it, my God, you thank you. You've made me very rich. Why? Because I value the faith that I have. And it runs into, that's on a particular issue. I can literally value it in billions, of dollars, of naira. Like the other, let me give an example. I gave this example before. Michael Jackson was paying a doctor about $200,000 a month to be able to sleep. Think about it. He was paying a doctor $200,000 a month to be able to sleep. And that doctor killed him. Now, for every month I don't pay anybody to sleep, credit my account of faith, $200,000. You get what I'm going to explain? That is money I don't have to spend. I'm sleeping. And the other day, I was driving to the street where the U.S. Embassy is. And my brother just said, oh, that's Otedola's boat. I mean, two massive, boats there, black. That's Otedola's boat. I said, Now, let us assume the man needs it to be happy. Let us assume. I don't know whether he needs it to be happy or not. Okay, some people need it to feel very important. Maybe not Otedola, but maybe, The other day, I watched a TV film of big men competing on the size of a boat to feel satisfied. Let's assume that one boat is $100 million. Some of those guys. To achieve what I have already. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I am happy. Amen? I am satisfied. I feel very important everywhere I go. God in heaven is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I can't remember when last in my adult life I felt inferior to anybody. Not natural pride, though. It is pride, in quotes now, born out of the entrance of the word of God. I can't remember standing before a man and I'm feeling inferior. And have been with, I've stood before all kinds of people. I'm telling you the truth. I won't lie to you. You can be there, pack all the biggest cars. I come in a Keke Napep. I will come down, shake your hand with pride. If I bow, it's for age. Are you getting my point? Yes. And that's why till today, if I see a man that's older than me, even if he's poor, I still bow. I still bow. Because that's what the Bible commands. You shall rise before the aged. You getting my point? Not before the rich. The Bible commands when it's the rich. Listen, I make it, it's a matter of faith. I use my faith to disrespect you. Are you getting what I'm saying? In quote now. If you are younger than me and you are very rich, you're in trouble. I've told you, if you are younger than me and you are very rich and I have this small suspicion that the thing is getting into your head, you've just entered. No, really. I don't want anything from you. I'm not hoping you will give me money. Those who give me money these days is with, thank you, sir. Are you getting my point? Yes. I give you money and tell you thank you on top of it. You mean you are going to receive it? How blessed I am today. I'm not looking for anything from your hand. But if you're a ruler, I give you the respect that a ruler should have. Why? Simply because the word of God has entered into me and I realize how good, see my point? How good my life is, how God has blessed me. I'm not inferior to anybody. What's my point? I don't need a boat to prove it. That's $100 million I don't have to spend. Write that one down too. Can you see how rich I am? To sleep at night, all I need to do is hit the bed. I say this make you laugh. People are always going for checkup. Let me tell you the truth. I don't believe in it. I know doctors. They will find something. And I have enough information to know that most of those checkups are a waste of time. For decades, they told men, go and check your prostate once you cross a particular age. Some will tell you age of 50. Then, 2 years ago, they said that it has been a waste of time for the last many years. They did a study and wrote it down that all this check is not better than tossing a coin. Thank God, I was not planning to go and check my prostate anyway. Wake up in the morning, I speak to my prostate. Prostate, obey the word of the Lord. By his stripes, you have been healed. Prostate, hear ye the word of the Lord. Even though you are old, you still be full of sap. Prostrate, hear the word of the Lord. Caleb, after 45 years, his prostate was the same size as it was 40 years ago. I speak to prostate. Now, all the millions for yearly checkup added to my money that I don't have. Now, are you getting how rich I am? You may think I'm just talking. Some people are hearing for the first time, but it's not a joke. I mean it literally. They have a saying also, you know, I know a lot of Yoruba proverbs, okay? So you hear me quoting them a lot. They have a saying in Western in Nigeria. They said that if a man gets up in the morning to go and look for money, and on the way, he finds honor, he said he will go back home, not bothering to continue the journey. He said, do you know why? That if he had gotten the money, he would have used it to buy honor anyway. That's the saying. So anything you'll have used money to buy that I have without having to spend the money is the value of my wealth. You are getting the point I'm making. You are getting the point I'm making. Alright, so that's how we build this thing. That is, this faith in the promises of God is tangible wealth. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. I've seen people trying to, how do I save money so that when my children have to go to school, they will have money to go to school. There are things that have never crossed my mind. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When my children go to school, you can be sure of that. If I have that, I stop thinking about that one maybe before they were born. What I think about is how many other people's children will go to school on my bill. That one is a matter of fact. Now, how do I know all of these things? It's because of the promises of God. What impresses God is the promise that somebody laid hold on the promise and is living his or her life according to that promise. That is what impresses God, though. And if you want to know somebody who's displeasing God, it's somebody who hears the word of God and says, I beg, forget that one. Let's talk real life. Let me not speak heavy words. Any Christian that says that is doomed. Listen, let me. People are hearing this in case, because what God does is to call people to repentance. Any man, any woman who says that, let's take money again as an example. They are talking about future, destiny, prosperity, stuff like that. Comfort. And he said, let us talk real life. Forget that one. Listen, hear you the word of the Lord. That fellow will be poor. Listen, let his father be Dangote and his mother inherit all the money of Otedola combined. That fellow will beg for food. There are things God does not take kindly. I utter a word and he said, come on, let's talk something real. You are telling me my word is not real. There are things you shouldn't do. If you don't know what to say, keep quiet. No, listen, you can do anything. No, don't argue with God. You know, keep on saying that thing. The word of God comes, so if you don't know what to say, just keep quiet. Peradventure, you will be on the same level it met you. It's unlikely, but let's just assume it will happen. Because the word of God, like Bishop Oyedepo said, either lifts you up or it brings you down. A man was speaking, Elisha by name. By this time tomorrow, there will be breakthrough in the land. He talked about how things will change so much that people will be buying, you know, using, I don't know how to convert their own value that time to today's own. But say, by tomorrow, 2 mudus of rice shall go for 50 naira. You get what I'm saying? One bag of rice shall be sold for $5 on the streets of Enugu. And before that, Azumi was going for like $50,000 because it was so scarce, so difficult to find. And that man said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, can such a thing happen? The prophet was provoked. He said, you will see it happen. But one thing that will not happen is that you will eat out of it. That one will not happen. The man died by accident. There was so much commotion. They said, go there and go and maintain order when the word of God came to pass. The people he was trying to control, they knocked him down and trampled him to death, that the word of God might be fulfilled. Why? The man spoke against the word of the prophet. That tells you how God regards the matter of his uttered promise. We're talking about Isaac, inspired by Isaac. Isaac's name is Laughter. What does it mean? Let's go to that Romans chapter 4. It simply means that Isaac, Abraham, of course, was old. His wife was old. And they didn't have children. And he said to God, what do you give me, seeing that I'm going childless? And God said to him, don't worry, you will not go childless. You are going to be a father of many nations. And then one day God narrowed it down that this many nation matter involves Sarah, your wife. And Abraham laughed. And that laughter was not a laughter of mockery, that's the point I'm trying to make. It was a laughter of rejoicing. He was so overwhelmed by that word, he began to laugh. That's the point we are making. And that was what impressed God about him. Now, I want you to understand this. Let me just start from verse 13. Romans chapter 4. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So notice that there was a promise. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. Now, okay, let's start from verse 16 now. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed. I want you to just understand this word promise. Just notice it. Notice it. Promise. So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. He said, the promise, he said, those are of the faith of Abraham, he was saying, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. King James says, cause those things that be not as though they were. I'm reading New American Standard. It says, he calls into being that which does not exist. That expression is very important. That when God makes a promise, I want you to understand this. He's not saying that I have projected, I have, you know, arranged, I have calculated it that the way the economy is going, the GDP of Nigeria is increasing by, who knows, current economics. Who knows it now? Nobody. I don't know. Let's assume that it says that, okay, the GDP is growing by 6% per year. It therefore means that it's 6%, right? Uh-huh, all right. I told you I'm a prophet and the Lord is good. Just joking. So it's growing by 6% a year. It means that over the next 6 years, over the next 10 years, the GDP should have doubled. You know, therefore, I've calculated that if you buy land at this time and you get this, you'll be okay. So I say to you, don't worry. That's not what God is saying. He said, it calls into existence that which did not exist. What is he saying there? It's simple. Even though the GDP is minus 6, and the whole economy vanishes after 8 years, it makes no difference. Are you getting my point? That when the time comes for that your future to be manifested, I will call into existence that which did not exist. For example, you know how God makes men rich? Look, any man that's going to be the richest man in the world, that kind of thing, go and check. It's usually in an area where people are not doing things before. I don't know. You know, you have to put value. Like now, Bill Gates became the richest man in the world as software was developing. Are you getting my point? He became the richest man in the world. All right? So anything that's developing new that you catch into early will make you very, very rich. So God said, okay, let me make this Okechukwu boy rich. What do we do? What are they looking for? All of that. Okay, create something. No, you understand my point? Create something new. Let the whole world be dependent on it. I'm serious. The angels will just come. Arrange some very sharp boys in university who will have a lot of thinking. Give them ideas and make sure they are broke. And come to you and say, please, sir, can you just give us 10,000 naira to get this idea? You say, well, what do I get? Say, we'll give you 50%. Over the next 15 years, the thing grows so big, the whole world is depending on it. It's not a big deal. God does those things regularly. I don't know what I heard I said. It's not a big deal. So when he makes a promise, please understand this, it's not hinged upon what existed. It is that when the time comes, I will make sure everything arranges to make my word come to pass. The fellow that impresses God is the one that builds his or her life on God's promise. Many people build life on what they can see. That's the point I'm trying to make. People do it. Listen, like I say all the time, for young people, hear it again. You can go to any country in the world you so desire. If you wake up tomorrow, come and say, "Sir, I'm going to Bolivia. I will pray with you." Yes, I'm serious. He said that this time around, I'm going down to Nicaragua. What you are looking for in Nicaragua, I don't know. But fine, it's all right. If you feel convinced you should go there, I will pray with you. But the one that will say to you straight, "Oh, foolish Galatian," is if you tell me that I've seen the way the economy is going, I have decided that the best place for a man to hide though, so they can prosper is Nicaragua. That's why I will call you to order. Say, "Come here." Safety is of the Lord. There is nowhere you run to in this world where you can be safe. Let me tell you the truth. While you are watching, you listening to me, eh? While you are watching, you see economy in America become average. I don't want to say anything worse. They will become average. It will happen. Now, this one is going to happen. What I want to say will happen. What I'm about to say, eh? Will happen. It will come to pass while you are watching, not in a very distant future, that an average businessman in Nigeria, his daily, you know, profit has more value of that of an average businessman in the United States of America. That one will happen. I'm not cursing anybody. I'm not blessing anybody. I'm stating facts that are going to happen. It will happen that to live comfortably, now, listen, I'm giving you this one. I'm not kidding about it. That laboring average, let's calculate on a normal, I'm not talking about Christians now, you know, not people who are laboring by faith. Oh, I speak to my business, produce. That one is added advantage. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, that one is added advantage. I'm telling you one that the average unbeliever on the street will partake in, the sun shining like on everybody, is that it will be easier to make, you know, money for comfort and, you know, personal needs in this country than it will be at that time in the United States of America. It will happen that all American pilots, eh? They say, "Oh boy, we'll go look for a job for Nigeria." I say things they happen for that side. I'm not kidding. I mean that one literally. Literally. I mean, after all, take it. Look, go and ask your fathers. Stories of just 40 years ago. When they finish school abroad, they used to run back home. Quick. They finish today. Tomorrow, they are down home. That's where the action is. So don't think it's something strange. Things like that happen all the time. Go to many of those European countries now. Life hard. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Now, I'm going to bring out an issue here. So, listen. It is foolishness to plot your life according to what eyes can see. It's foolishness. It's utter foolishness. There's something I used to see, give as an example. Let me say it again. When my wife and I were discussing, I said to her, "Listen, if a man had billions and billions of naira and has houses all over the place," I said, "let's just project in 15 or 20 years' time. Who do you think is sure of where he will stay? Him or me, in my little level, especially at that time?" I told my wife, I said simply, "You can be sure. Now, let us assume you want to marry a man because you want to be sure you have a house in 20 years. You had better marry me." Why? Because his own assurance of a house, assume he's not a believer, is based upon what the eyes can see. Mine is based upon a promise. That's what I'm getting to in all of these things. That is the God of the universe. Say, "Banky, don't worry. Anytime you need a house, ask me. I'll make sure you always have one." That is a sure... Oh my God, I pray you understand. That is a surer guarantee of having a home in 20 years' time than having $1 billion today. The fellow who impresses God is the one who built his life or her life on the promise that God makes. That's the way it is. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 4. I stop in a particular verse, right? Verse 16. He said, "For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations have I made you,' in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. talking further about Abraham, verse 18, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Please notice that. That is, Abraham's hope was built upon the promise when the word of God said to him, so shall your descendants be. He said, without becoming weak in faith. Now notice this. He contemplated his own body. If you have a King James, it will tell you he did not contemplate his body. Are you getting my point? Now, the correct thing is that he contemplated his body. But that was without being weak in faith. That is, what he was saying is that the man was 100 years old. He looked at his body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver, that is, by going into unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had what? Had what? Had what? He was able also to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, please, let me just stay here. This is the main thing I want to drop today. Now, I'm talking about how Isaac came to be. We're talking about the life of Isaac. Isaac's name is Laughter. And Isaac is a sign of what God will do in the life of Abraham. Please follow me. Listen, Abraham's faith. What impressed God about Abraham when God began to swear concerning him that by myself I have sworn, go and read Hebrews chapter 6, that in blessing I will bless you and I will make your name great. It wasn't, please listen to this, it wasn't because Abraham loved God so much he was willing to give him everything. Let it not be as if I'm always fighting this give gospel. You understand what I'm saying? People say if you love God, you give him anything, he will swear. Listen, it's not true. Oh, Father in heaven. You must understand this. Let me say this again. A Christian is a giver. Amen? Listen, if I want to raise money from you, what I will tell you is the truth. God loves a cheerful giver. And what I need money from, if I'm hungry, I will say to you, if I don't eat, and you have been blessed by my word, you are in trouble. It's the truth. How can you be eating fat and I've been blessing you and I'm hungry? Is it good? I will tell you the truth. If work has to be done, I would like us to reach to another area and we don't have money, I will say it. Now, I normally don't do that, but there's nothing wrong with it. I will just ask you, please, brethren, if God has blessed you, this is what we want to do. It's a good cause to give towards it. And good Christians do good things. Amen? Amen. Good Christians give towards good causes. Amen? Amen? Good Christians spend money in a manner that's pleasing God. But good Christians never give money because they will get from God. Good Christians give money because they know that they can never be broke. They know that if they need anything, God will give to them. They are not attached to what they have right now. Very important you understand that. It's a sign of faith. To be a generous giver is what? Is what? A sign of faith. It means that you don't trust in money. Go and read that second, is it 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17? Go and read it again. Those who don't trust in money, they are generous. That's a matter of fact. But, I want to emphasize it. Don't think that because Abraham gave God something, God was so excited. He said, Abraham, hey, can you imagine? This man, after one whole year, he ends his whole salary and gave to me. I will bless him now. No. That was not what excited God. Let me say to you again. What excited God was that God promised something. He said, in Isaac will your seed be. Then that same God, there was no confusion as to who was speaking. That same God said, bring that Isaac, let us sacrifice him. I want him as a burnt offering. Listen, Abraham so believed in God, his faith in God reached an extent that he said, since the word was in Isaac, will my seed be. Therefore, if this Isaac dies, it means God must raise him back from the dead. I dare to say this to you. Abraham went to go and watch the raising of the dead. You may say, what's the big deal? You must bear this in mind. Read your Bible. Before that time, nobody in the Bible had been raised from the dead. Go and read the scriptures. Nobody. Nobody. Abraham had never heard of the raising of the dead. He deduced it out of the assurance of the promise of God. It's like me telling you, please, we have to be in Lagos by tomorrow morning. Do you understand? But and then, you just let me start going. He said, no, don't worry. And let's assume I'm God. You understand my point? He said, you must be in Lagos 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Then, there are no planes, nothing. He's driving. This night, he said, let's start going. I said, don't worry. By 6:30, let's start going. I said, don't worry. By 7:30, I said, and I'm still saying to you, don't worry. You now say, if indeed we'll be in Lagos by 8 o'clock, there must be a way of transporting us that he wants to use, I don't know about yet. I don't know whether I get my point. It's common sense. 8 o'clock tomorrow, I will be in Lagos. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But I will be in Lagos. So I relax. I hope you have heard my point. Once I'm sure I'm dealing with this God, that's what I said to you, listen, that's what impresses God. And the challenge, I say it again, the challenge of Christianity today is for people, let's take this breakthrough thing as an example, prosperity as an example, is for God to say to you, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So do you believe that? I say, yes. Say, now, Park, go to Abakili, go and start a church. Now, yeah, you get my point. You were in Lagos, so, where the offerings were big. Listen, this is a mistake a lot of preachers make till today. They must have branch in Lagos because that's where the offerings come from. And that is the very thing that displeases God. Why? Because now, listen, God can send it to go and do anything anywhere. Are you getting my point? No, I keep on saying that thing because I say it because people sometimes often misunderstand as if, Banky, you don't like Lagos. No, it's a hang up in the hearts of people that I don't like. That is the one I don't like. That is the one that is wrong. There are a young woman decides that for me to make it in life, I have to get out of here. And I'm saying to you, you don't have to get out of here. Whatever here your own here is. I am saying that God is saying, listen, and that is what impresses him for you to believe that word. He said, I call into existence that which did not exist before. That is, while I was speaking to you, that this is what I will do in your life, you looked around, that it does not exist. Abraham's wife, literally in today's counting of years, was 90 years old. So he too, like a normal person, he gave up on the idea. And God came to him and said, no. And the man laughed. They called the name of the boy Laughter. Are you getting my point? Listen, I was thinking about it today. I sat down and I said, God, and no, really, that was the prayer I was praying. God, I pray that we trust you totally. Listen, there are different ways. Go and listen to our message, The Satisfaction of the Father. Just check our list. The Satisfaction of the Father. Go and go through it. There's something that makes God happy. When we were in school those days, there was one brother. He used to study very, very hard. He was a hard reader. When he wants to read like this, those kind of people that won't sleep, they will drink coffee. When they finish with that, all right, they will bring something, anything to keep awake. Put your leg inside cold water and the other one in hot water. They will do it. Burn the candle, like they say, at both ends. And you know what? He used to succeed very well. It was an A student, distinction student. It was always on top of his class. And my friend and I looked at him. Lord, we thank you for success. We thank you for victory. We don't want to be like him. No, it was a matter of fact. One day my friend chose because I said, of course, you know Christians, the way we behave and the way we misbehave. They will now start inviting you to be giving talk on academic success in every fellowship. Around foolishness. No, he wouldn't come near a fellowship where I was in charge. Lie. You want to come and teach my people how to die young? It's not that it's vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, passing with hard labor. I said, lie. My friend and I chicks were looking and said, this is not a testimony. That is, I'm not lying to you. We had classmates, look, There was an unbeliever in my class that was so one of the top students in the class. I had more respect for that guy's head than I did for that other fellow. Because this one is not, at least he's not claiming he's believing in God. He's not going around teaching Christians how to succeed. He's just doing his work. It is confusion, really, really, really. You know, I was in Lagos. Now, there's one woman, very, very rich, all right? I won't mention the name for her because we are recording this. Very rich. You know, when you're counting money, you're counting maybe scores of billions, understand? So she's a Christian now, right, from what I was told. And then she now maybe goes to church to come and teach young women, Christian business women, and all of that. So my friend in whose house I was, the wife, was not speaking, said that, that look, that she doesn't understand. When they say the woman is coming, she packs her bag and leaves home. Yes, that she, no. That what she coming to tell me? What was she trying to explain? That she just gave her life to Christ recently. She was rich before that. And that the way she the money was made is not something I want to repeat. That's what she was trying to tell me. So that I'll just pack my things and say, I beg, please. I don't, what are you coming to tell me? Now I'm bringing an issue here. That what I want to hear is how to succeed with the grace of God despite all the hindrances against me. You are telling me how to flow with the arm of flesh and succeed, then you come and give me a testimony. Because, you know, she was trying to analyze something. And I said, listen, I agree with you, my sister, totally. That what I want, now, I talked about satisfaction of the Father. What God wants is how you succeeded without using the arm of flesh. That is what he takes glory from. That I'm an A student. But I wake up at a good time, fellowship time or Bible study time, I'm there, I go to church. When it's late at night, I'm already asleep. I have decent number of hours of sleep. I'm not saying I'm indisciplined. You know, people, some people carry to the other extreme. So I don't even read at all. All I do is watch television. That is foolishness. What did I call it? You know, there was one scripture, I didn't want to go back to it now. One was saying that, look, there's not Bible calls the doing of good. All right? Watching football all the time as a student is the doing of bad. It is good for a student to go to class. It is good for a student to learn. I mean, the aim is not to pass. The aim is to do what? To learn. That's it. We're not just working to get a certificate. We want to learn. And it is good for you to learn. Whether somebody is giving you an exam or not, you must learn. So don't ever come and give any foolish testimony of how irresponsible you are at the time of learning and yet you passed. I don't want to hear that one. No. Tell me that testimony, I'll call it to the side. Don't go outside and give this testimony. There are things that Jesus will do for you and say, see that you tell no man. It's in the Bible like that. I mean, I like the story of Ben Carson. God gave him a miracle. He passed the exam by a miracle. At the end of the day, he knelt down and promised God, I will never put you in this kind of situation where I will need this kind of miracle again. I said, that's Christianity. Because he had been irresponsible. It happened to me when I was in university also. There was a subject I did not like. I did not like it. And the exam was approaching. I knelt down and said, God in heaven, help. And the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know then that it was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, oh boy, you're a student. Go to class. That course I didn't use to go. Before, you know, it was so boring. I remember one day they were teaching us in class, housing and health. That was the subject. And they said, a good house should have this number of windows. I thought the man was just telling stories. A good house should have this number of toilets. I don't know the thing they come for exam. Not right hand first. A good house. I mean, we were 4 PM in the class. And I said, so after a while, I remember my friend, Alex, one of my classmates. He was beside me. This is all he did that day.
This is common sense. This is common sense.
He was sitting near me. So this is common sense. This is common sense. We're taking lectures. A good house should be painted. The gutter in front should be flowing. We didn't know that before. In our exam, did that. And even another lecture, they came to teach us about taboos. Taboos. In some places, children are not allowed to eat egg. And they are the ones that need the egg. Yeah. In some places, they were doing like that. So we're looking like, oh, this Jesus is good today. After a while, the 1 hour was over. So the next lecture shall be, what did they have? After that, we're not going to go class again. So they just come and be telling us things that our grandparents knew. I have to come to medical school to know the good house you have window. You know that kind of thing? Oh boy. Now exam begin approach. Now as you say, this place, Nothing. I went to go and pray. And the first thing Holy Spirit let me know is, oh, boy, you know, I told you, there are two testimonies I've given. Three. But one, Holy Spirit said, stop saying this is volatile. Remember that? This one was that start going to class. Start going to class. That one, and the lecture is to be 8 o'clock. So why should I wake up? Hey, come on, keep on sleeping. It's a bit to rise up too early. After that, I did not miss one lecture. I didn't miss one lecture after that one. Boring or interesting, I went. I'm just telling the story to balance it. God helped me. In fact, the day the results came, I didn't go to check. I went to class to sit down. So my friend Chuks came. He was feeling very happy. I knew I checked his result. So he saw me, hey, what happened? I said, have you checked your result? He said, yes. So I said, he said, what about you? I said, I haven't gone. He didn't go. I said, oh boy, I'm not fit. He said, I've checked your own now. I said, you checked his head? He said, yes. What happened? You passed now. Ah, passed! That is, I didn't have the liver to go and check. Why did I tell the story again? To let you know, all right, that there's a balance to it. I'm not saying a student just sits down and does not go to class. If you don't go to class, God will make you fail, not because he can't make you pass, but he wants to teach you a lesson in self-discipline. He wants to teach you a lesson, you understand, in how to do what is good. Later I'll talk about it, succeeding that principle of Isaac. We are not saying that people will not work. We are saying they will do that which is what? Good. There are things that are good. There are things that are bad. You must learn to do that which is good. I'm just saying, while you are doing that which is good, your hope must not be on what you are doing, but must be on what? The promise of God. That is what a Christian lives his life by. When I finished in Lagos, then I told people I was coming to Enugu. They said, ah, money's in Lagos. You know, the scripture that was in my mind, anytime they talked about money, I said, no. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I understood it totally that anywhere I went, I could go anywhere. Money will come to the place where I am. I don't make my decisions because of where money is. That's what I'm talking about. When we said success, people laboring with their arm of flesh, they come and give me testimonies on how to succeed by labor. I said, no. What are you going to give me as a testimony? You don't sleep. You don't sleep. Any normal human being, except there's a special curse upon him that works this hard, should get a blessing. And I can prove that it's in the scriptures. God, after he cursed the earth, cursed be the earth because of you. He said, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. It's a curse to have to sweat before eating bread. It's a curse. What Christians do is good. You just do what? Good. It is good to work. It is. You must be productive. You must be a blessing to people. That's what good is. You want to be successful in life, you hang on the promise of God for that. Not on how you can humanly plot anything. And I say to you again today, the word of God will never fail. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Yes, let me say it again. The word of God can never fail. Amen. Anybody that tells you the word failed did not believe that word. He was trying to copy somebody else. Which is a problem. The man said, I just got up one day, I left everything I was doing, I went to do this one. You do what he is doing, thinking that's a formula. No. He did that because he had a promise. Hanging on that promise caused some things to come out of him naturally. If that doesn't come out of you, don't copy him. What fails is a copying of somebody else's acts. The man said, no, I was sick. I just believed God. I threw all my medicine. And then suddenly, I began to get well. And I said, hey, now, wow. So the way to get healed now is the throwing away of medicine. Throwing away of medicine now becomes a formula. Except that it's not the word of God. So people start failing. They start dying. Things are going wrong. They say, don't mind these Christians. They won't take medicine. Listen, the Bible never said a Christian should take or not take medicine. What he simply said is that he should believe the word of God. If in believing the word of God in that fellow's life, he said, listen, I don't need this medicine. It's not that somebody said, don't take it. It's just that he realized that this is not, what is he going to do for me? If it ignites, listen, if trust in the word of God ignites that out of that fellow, it will never bring a wrong testimony. Never. The problem always is I'm copying somebody else. I heard that this man said he drove 500 kilometers without buying fuel. You don't want to spend money, you go. You have money, oh, nobody say you not get. Don't worry, God will just wait for you. Wait. Let me just let this boy a lesson. He has to live long. So let's teach him a lesson now. As soon as you come out from the trekking distance to the last filling station, and you enter in the dangerous zone where the boys, they hang out, where will you all finish? Bam. He said, I confess. As you are saying, I confess, an angel will take your hand, dip it in your pocket. What you will feel is the money that is inside there. And suddenly paint a picture on your head, the last filling station. Why you not buy fuel? And I said, hey, God, help me. I'm in trouble now. I said, God, hey, good. What's the trouble? There are a lot of hoodlums around here. I'm stranded. I'm in the bush. God, now I said, watch help. Next, two men will come from inside the bush. Ah, what's happening? Ah, my car just stopped here. What's it? Ah, it looks like there's no fuel. You see, two of them are big. The third one will come and join them. You won't know they are angels. No fuel. Ah, and there's a filling station that way. Say, let's go help you buy fuel. They will collect your money because this is... Okay, do you have money there? It's an angel. You give it to him. And Okada will appear. He will climb on the bike. He will go for like 15 minutes. Instead of 1 hour that it should have been. And return with fuel. Pour it in your car. That is God. Then you will see some hoodlums hanging around trying to, you know. But they can't because there are two guys helping you. That is an answer to send us air from above. You know that kind of thing. Because after that, next time you see filling station, you go rush them. The problem is that, listen, buying fuel is good. Amen? Amen? What did I say? Buying fuel is good. It's a good thing. Don't stop looking for, you know, anyhow testimony. This kind of thing, want to brag on God. That's not the I don't have to buy fuel. My God, you all put fuel in the car. Some have even gone and say, God, since there's no fuel, let's put water. I don't believe in that one at all. If you give me that testimony, I'll look at it with suspicion. Say, there was no fuel. My spirit just said I should pour water. I won't believe you. I will not believe you. He said, but God turned water to wine. I didn't say God cannot turn water to fuel. I just said I don't believe you. Because Christians like to tell all kinds of stories. It may happen. It may happen. That one day, are you getting my point? Somebody will be in that kind of dire situation and the Holy Spirit will come, speak to him in a manner that cannot be doubted and say, put water in that thing. Don't worry about it. It is possible. Why I'm just saying what I said, all right, is because I don't want Christians to think that is normal. God doesn't do it often. He does it usually in your life once. After that, no, let me give you an example. How did David kill Goliath? Stone and what? Sling. How many giants did he kill like that after that? All the other giants were killed the normal way. Bow and arrow, sword, dagger, fight, real fight, men surrounding him. Do you understand my point? Please, I'm trying to explain, you know, balance is the key to life. That's what I'm trying to make, all right? People often get it wrong when they start acting on other people's testimonies, not knowing that testimony is not the key. The key is the believing the promise of God. Are you getting my point? The key is what? Believing the promise of God. Now, once the key promise has been believed, God will now manifest in different ways. Like when he says, you will never be stranded. So he puts money in your pocket and puts fuel on the road. That's one way. That is one way. You will never be stranded. He takes away your hummer and gives you a picanto. He can do that. Yes. So this is your hummer just wasting natural resources. Use this picanto for a while. Why? Because you put 2 liters in it. That one naoka. An extra liter on it. Before, that one couldn't get you to 9 miles. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to say there are different ways. But what God simply says is, what is my promise to you? I will never be stranded. Hold that promise. One day you are going, there's no way to go. God will just see, you see some men riding horses. They put you at the back. You will never be stranded. And then finally one day, say, why ride horses? Why use picantos? Why don't you just buy you a helicopter? Still the same word. You will never be stranded. That's the point I want the people of God to understand. What God wants is for us to build our lives on his promise. And the person that God is impressed with is the one that builds his or her life on the promise of God. Many people, they build life on human, you know, machinations, human reasoning. I don't want to be poor in life. I must marry a rich man. forgetting that men can die, money vanishes. You might as rich today, tomorrow. And you know the way money vanishes fastest is government's decree. Government will just say from now on, boom, that's it. Men who were rich are now poor. Men who were poor become rich. Why? One government talked. But this is a Christian. You just know that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No matter what the situation is. That's what I mean by building your life on the promise of God. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? People go to school, say, if you go to get this kind of degree, you get a good job. Why? They believe that their destiny will be secure if I have that kind of job. Listen, no matter how good a degree you have, please, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord, don't put your hope in it. Don't put your hope in it. The days of SAP, I was an adult in Nigeria, in the days of SAP, the worst thing to do to yourself was have a salary job. Yes, the days of SAP. We used to look at those traders in the market. See, these guys were very wise, though. They were not like our parents that were very foolish, decided to go to school. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Decided to go to school, get a job. Forgetting that the time they were doing that, it was the in thing. Like I always say, don't go and buy football for your son now because of who's the reigning Nigerian? I know the days of JJ Okocha and Co. they passed. Mikel Obi, Don't go and buy football because of that. Buy football if it is what? Good. A young boy should play. There's a time to play. Buy football for that purpose. But please, don't buy it because you are hoping that one day will be Mikel Obi. Because the time will also come. We'll just say, can't robots play this ball? These boys are too expensive. I'm telling you. You are laughing. They all make all kinds of robots. The competition will not be on companies. The company making it. Say, oh boy, have you seen the latest Sony, what they call, front runner? What do you call those guys in front? The latest Sony striker. Say, that thing can move fast. I don't buy my own, you know. They will be owning their own soccer teams. I'm telling you. But what Christians do is build their hope on what? Promise. Promise. Isaac is that which God does in your life despite all the odds because you trusted him. And let me say something to you. Once you beget your Isaac, everything after that becomes easy. Yes. After you beget Isaac, everything after that is easy. Listen, I feel like, look, let me just end there. I've taken time. My message today is that Christians must learn to build their lives on the promise of God. And I feel like emphasizing it, that please, anything you are doing in life, make sure it is because there is a promise attached. Or that is a promise. That is the reason why you are doing it. That is the reason why you are doing it. Don't use common sense. Don't. I like to give this testimony all the time. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. And Jackie Mize said, I can't have children. And he said to her, why? He said, because you know, something happened. Doctor said this, doctor said that. And the guys laughed. Let me add my own word now, that laughter. He laughed. And said, the doctors don't know anything. Are you following that point? That is, he married her based on not what her physiology was like. Not her ability. And not because he said, me, well, if I like, I have children. If it doesn't matter, love is what matters. You see, the Lord is good. You know, it sounds noble. It sounds very noble. The man doesn't even concern himself about children. As long as the wife loves him and is dedicated to him, it doesn't matter. They don't have to have children. That's good. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Does that impress God? Small, tiny like this. What impresses God? Terry Mann said simply, the doctors don't know what they are saying. The promise of God is, do you get my point? Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it's a blessing to have a quiver full. I, the Lord, I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Now listen to this. He married her because of those promises. Now, whether he lost children or not is not the issue now. What impressed God is that even though the odds, I mean, the guy said it to him straight. And the guy said, forget it. Those guys cannot invalidate the word of God. He said to her simply, watch it. Just marry me first. I will show you the glory of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, did I not tell you if you believe you will see the glory of God? That woman had four children. Because a man said, don't worry. Who said it, doctor? Fine. This is a good experiment. Let us see who's more powerful. The doctor or the promise of God. And I'm saying to you in your life, that's the way you handle it. Isaac is that which God does in your life. Not because you're strong. Isaac is that which God does in your life because despite all the odds, you took hold of a promise and built a life around it. Amen. I say to you, you will never be ashamed. Amen. What I've said to you is a matter of fact. You will never be ashamed. Amen. Listen to me, I say it one more time. You build your life on a word from God, you will never be ashamed. Amen. That's me of the word Isaac. Living according to the promise of God. I hope you understood me today. I hope you understood what I said today. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord.